you guys doing? Doing good? Small group, but God's going to bless. Amen? The thought that I'd like to share with you guys today, this whole week I was like, what do I share? What should I say? And as a Bible worker, I have been feeling a little homesick. I miss my students. I miss just being able to share the message that God has given me throughout my devotionals. So this opportunity, it really humbles me, but it gives me the privilege to share with you guys. We all as Christians share something in common. And that is, we all go through trials. We all go through tough moments, but God pulls us through. Amen? We all have testimonies. And the message that I'd like to share with you guys today is how God was able to pull me through one of my toughest moments in my life as a Christian in doing missionary work. There was a moment 2 years ago that I almost quit. Yeah, I almost quit. Not on God, not idolatry, but more on doing the work. It burdened me so much. It brought so much suffering in my life in ways. But there was a reason why. And as I was thinking about the message to share with you guys, I thought about my students and how I share this message with them. And how I'm going to share this with you is the same way I shared it with them. With an open heart, and I'm going to be vulnerable. I have gone through a lot. But through this message, I will show you and be able, through the Word of God, teach you how He made me strong. He stuck me through the toughest part of my moments. As Christians, there's times that you sometimes want to give up. How many of us have got to that point? Like, man, I don't know if I can keep going. In reality, we do. People say, is it normal for afflictions? Is it normal to go through this? I'm going to share with you that it is completely normal. Not only that, there is a blessing and there is a reason why. God has a purpose. That is why today's title is called Refiner's Fire. Now, many of us have been burned, right? Physically? But spiritually, do you know that today, daily, God puts you through a refinery, rather, refines you daily through a fiery furnace as you refine you daily in your walk with God. So today's title and theme is Refiner's Fire. Let us open up with the Word of God and open up with the Word of Prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, before we break the bread, we ask that you be with us. I pray that you anoint my lips with your Holy Spirit, that you hide me behind your cross. And I pray that today's message may be a message, Lord, that Lord may impact many of my brothers and sisters here the same way it impacted me in times of distress and times of where do I go on from here. Lord, I pray that through these words, may it be you that is glorified. And may it be you, Lord, that we become more like you daily in our walk. This we ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It was my third summer canvassing. I don't know if you guys have heard of YouthRush. It's a 10-week summer program. I know Pops has. I know Dr. Bryant because his daughter, I don't know if you guys know Heidi Bryant, Heidi Carpenter, but her name is Heidi Bryant because she's married. She's in charge. She's the ministry director of YouthRush at Southern California Conference. That's my conference, my home. I am Southern California bred. But the amazing thing about that program, it's a 10-week program that students take just from the summer. They sacrifice going to the beach, having fun, no homework, and not having to do chores or whatever, to come to this program. And this program, what it does, is that it helps them to be able to have financial help for their Adventist education. If they're going to go to college or an academy, this program helps them build up that financial stability through books, through Ellen White books. I don't know if you guys are familiar with some of Ellen White's books, Desire of Ages, Steps to Christ, Christ Object Lessons. And we also have cookbooks, DVDs, even children's books. And the amazing thing about this program that I'd never seen at the side these past years when I was a student and now that I'm a leader is when you see your students grow. It is the most amazing and best paycheck ever. Better than all your books that you've sold. It's like the whoa, praise God. And in this program, when I was a student, before I became a leader, I didn't know what I was getting myself into the first summer I did it, of 2010. I remember I was in distress in my Christian walk. It was my sophomore year, and I felt like I needed to do something else. I was like, God, I need to do something else with my life. Where do I go? And I remember I was just walking around my room, and I was like, should I clean it? I don't even feel like cleaning it, because like I don't even know what I'm doing with my life now. And so I was just started praying and walking and praying and saying, God, I feel like I'm so stagnant, so dry. What can I do? Through my crying out aloud to the Lord, God heard. 10 minutes later, I received a phone call.
And the principal's wife of San Gabriel Academy called me. And she's like, Joshua, what are you doing right now? I'm like, not doing anything. I'm distressed. And she's like, She's like, hey, would you be interested this summer to do Youth Rush? I'm like, Youth Rush? What's Youth Rush? She's like, it's a 10-week program where you do literature evangelist work. And you simply just pass out literature, and you're going to the door. You know, it's amazing and all this. All she said was, it's going to be good. I can see you doing it, and you're going to love it. So I was like, all right, sign me up. I'm in. And so I signed up, and God knows. Oh, God have mercy. We had to memorize 3 full pages of books, introductions, transitions. And at the end, after memorizing, you thought all was done. You need to memorize it under a time. So you had to say it fast, speak fast, and be on your... You had to engrave it. And so this program puts you on your toes and really helps you how to become a soulsman. Not a salesman, but a soulsman. After 3 summers of doing it, my third summer, my mom began to get in a divorce with my father. My Christian walk began to become dry. A lot of things began to happen in my Christian walk. My mom started going in a way of trying to commit suicide. My father started becoming atheist little by little. My brother had nothing to do with the church anymore. Just one drink, one partying. My sister has Down syndrome, but she suffers with illness sometimes here. Her immune system is really weak. And my other sister, well, the only problem is she doesn't eat. So we try to make her eat. So there's a lot of hecticness going around my home. And I just entered college, and I was doing sociology and criminology. And I said, God, you know what? This summer, I don't think I'm doing Youth Rush. I'm going to stay and just say, you know what? I think I'm done. I need a break from ministry. God knows when we need a break. And he knew it wasn't yet a break for me. And so I remember Heidi called, and she's like, will you do Youth Rush this summer? I said, no, I'm not. She's like, why not? It's too much for me. I can't do it anymore. And she's like, you know, we really need you. I think this is your summer where you're going to grow more. You're going to be a third repeater for the summer. And she's like, you're really going to grow out of this experience. And I said, I don't know. I don't think I should. After prayer and supplication, I prayed to the Lord. I quit school, and I went to Youth Rush. And you think, by sacrificing, God's going to sacrifice a lot, and he's going to give you the best summer? It didn't turn out that way. Long story short, to just squeeze those 10 weeks into 3 minutes, it was hell. You are required to get an average of 8 books a day. My average was 3. Before those 2 summers, my average was 10 to 15 to 18. God was good. But that summer, I was going through a lot that year already. That beginning summer, my sales were horrible. It was horrible, door-to-door experience. It got to points that we would come to church, and we would all get together at the end of the night and pray and thank God. And those people would be like, thank you, God, for an amazing experience. I'm like, yeah, thank you, God, for an amazing experience. Thank you, God. You know, people are so nice out there. Sure, people are nice out there. They started praying all these things, and I was just going against it. Like, that's not true, God. You have favorites. Like, I'm already going through so. I quit school for you. I quit school. Like, I'm here working for you, and I need financial help. You know, my family financial stability is not so good. Why then do you ask me to do such things? And at the end, it's like, it's worse. It gets so much worse. But every day I told myself this. No, probably God's testing me. Probably God is trying to see my faith where it's at, and maybe tomorrow he's going to bless me, but he just wanted to see if I'm going to hold on. So I held on the second week, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. For the 10th week of the last day, I held on. Like, maybe he's waited all 9 weeks. Maybe he's waited all 9 weeks and in 4 days. So this last day, to see, maybe he's going to bless me abundantly than all the days combined. Nothing. And that's when I asked myself, why? Why, God, did you allow such thing to happen? I didn't finish school. I have a loan to give in now. Why did you bring me to such a summer like this? And I promise you, all my leaders, usually around that time, when your students are not doing so good, you want to give them a talk of encouragement and let them say, hey, if you don't do so well, then we're going to have to let you go. Probably this is not your part of ministry, your working field. But none of my leaders bothered to tell me that. It wasn't until I became a leader that they sat down with me and they tell me, you know what, we still have no idea what happened to you. The reason we never got rid of you is because we knew there was something different about you. We don't know, but you were going through such times, we didn't know what to figure out. We didn't know what was wrong with you. So today, we still don't know. And they told me, do you know why God put you through that? I'm like, I still don't know during that time. But through devotionals and reading the Word of God, I realized one thing. I can really sympathize with the Israelites. And I let's start with Exodus. Exodus 15. In our spiritual walk, we all come through this experience. Exodus 15. Many of us are all familiar with this story. Israel's were in bondage to the Egyptians, and God sets them free. He does amazing things in their lives. He does all these plagues. He's doing the miracles. And guess what happens? He opens the Red Sea. They cross over. And chapter 15 is, guess what? A song of victory. They're singing a song of victory, a song of cheer that God pulled them through. Such as I sang after my first and second summer. I began to just say, thank you, God, because of my first summer, my experiences, oh my, they were amazing. My second summer, amazing. And then third summer comes along. I just crossed the Red Sea. We all cross the Red Sea in our life. We all have an experience that we can say, man, that was a Red Sea experience. Like, I thought there was no way out, but God pulled me out. But there's something I want you guys to focus on. That right after they crossed, verse 23 and 24, it says, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Key word in that verse 24. What do you guys think it is? Murmured. They murmured. Why are they murmuring? Complain. But there's a reason why. Let's go to 16, chapter 16. So in 15, guess what God does? He makes the water to sweet water. He takes off the bitterness. They drink of it. Chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. But let's go to verse 2 again. This is now talking about quail and manna. Verse 2 says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. They were hungry. There was no food. God gave manna. Guess what they decided to do again? The M word. Murmur. Let's go to chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Verse 2, let's just cut to the point. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted therefore for water, and the people murmured against Moses. So guess what? It's a murmur. God does something for them. All right, thank you so much. And then they murmur, and then God does something for them. All right, thank you so much. And then it's murmur and murmur and murmur. That's what I was doing my third summer. I was murmuring the whole time. Because I wasn't able to see what God did for me my first summer, my second summer. But there's a reason why it's called refiner's fire. It was necessary for the Israelites to go through the wilderness. It was necessary. Canaan and Egypt were just 250 to 300 miles apart away from each other. But even that, through that separation, people weren't free from Egypt. They weren't free from it. That is why they never received the promise to go to Canaan, except for the coming generation. But why? Why do they murmur? You know why? Because Egypt was a resource. They were so used to it. It was their resource. They depended upon it. Anytime an obstacle came, guess what they thought back to? Egypt. But Egypt has it. Every time they came to another point in their life, guess what they thought? Egypt. Egypt. Egypt was their known resource. And God, the reason He was putting them through this, such a trial, such a wilderness experience, was one, because God loves them. You may think, how does God love them? He put them through such suffering. You know why? Because God wanted to do something. Dissect that Egypt out of them. Break the chains and say, you know what? I want your resource to be me. That is why there is a principle. You receive not because you ask not. You know why God has made humanity so limited? It's because if we weren't limited, we would never come to the throne of grace. But because we are limited, guess what we come to? God. That's what I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because if we were limited, we can do all things through us, who we strengthen each other, right? But because we have the throne of grace and we're limited, we come to the throne of grace. And God helps us. But here, it was necessary for them. And it comes to the point as well for me. The reason my sole purpose at times was to quit was because I had a resource. And it was Egypt. I needed to be refined. I needed to go through an experience that was going to cost pain. Acts chapter 9. You guys know the story of Ananias. What does Jesus tell Ananias? Hey, I'm going to bring you Saul. He's like, don't bring me Saul. Persecutor. He's like, look, you're going to give him his sight back, but not only that, he's going to preach the gospel, he's going to do great things for me, but he's going to suffer a little for my sake. Do you guys know that when you become Christians and you take upon the name of Jesus, there's going to be suffering. There will be suffering. But praise God, because that refines you. That gives you an extra motivation. Now you're saying, how does that refine me? Well, let's go to John 16:33. Let us open up with this one. John 16:33. Now, in order to go through this process, you must be able to do something or to have something that the Israelites didn't completely understand. John 16:33. What does it say? These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye may have what? In the world you will have tribulations, but be of what? Why? Jesus has overcome the world. During my third summer, and just as the Israelites, I do not understand that verse. In the beginning of the verse says, these things have I spoken unto you. See, God loves you so much that He tells you in advance. Hey, I'm gonna give you a heads up. Hey, prepare yourself. And where do you find that peace? Where do you prepare yourself in that peace? In Jesus, right? Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is set on thee, because what? He trusts in thee. There's something that we must do with refining. We must trust God. Do you trust God in the process of being refined? Do you fully let Him and do you submit and say, God, I want to be refined? Or do we go back and say, God, I don't know, I'm better off in Egypt. I trust Egypt more. In the world, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Even though there are tribulations, God says, be of good cheer. How can you be of good cheer in such tribulation? Because God offers you that peace. Let's go to Psalms 137. It's a story I want to share with you guys. No, actually Psalms 137. This is a story that I've heard someone share at iShare 2 years ago. And it caught my attention because that's the moment that I was going through such stuff in my summer. And I was still questioning myself. God, why did I go through such a hard summer? What were you trying to pull through? What were you trying to make sense that I did not grab the attention of? Because right now I'm totally against what you did. Like, you didn't bless me. But I want to understand what was the spiritual blessing that you gave. Let's start off with verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. This is talking about the captivity when Babylon captured the Jewish nation. We hung our harps upon the willows and the mist thereof. Do you guys know what harps were for the people of God back then? It was their identity for worshiping God, singing hymns, psalms. You know David? One boy named David, killed a giant. He himself played the harp. It was a way to worship. It gave him the identity. But they hung their harps. And it says, for they carried us away captive, required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one song, one of those songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? What's simply happening here, as a normal Christian, guess what? Sometimes God offers you to get out of your comfort zone. My comfort zone is Kansas. I'm from Southern California. This has tested me a lot. I have a lot of Ebenezers here. But God has helped me through, in reality. And it's a strange land. And you think to yourself, when I'm going through such a trial, and I come through such an affliction, such a storm, How can I sing a song? And some of us, you know what we do? We hang our harps. We hang our harps on the trees. And we say, yeah, I can't sing a song here. How can I sing a song in a strange land? We're not familiar with it. We think it's strange. God, what are you trying to do? But see, they required of them a song. They're like, sing us a song. Satan will do the same thing in your life. When Satan plays nasty, and when he does that, he's going to be like, hey, sing me a song. I'm throwing so much trials, and I'm letting this come to you. God's allowing it. What you going to do about it? And guess what we do? We sometimes like, God, why does this happen? How can I sing such a song? God, I'm going through so much. We all have been discouraged. And sometimes we've been so discouraged that even on our knees we even can't get down. We're so weak that we're like, God, I can't. I don't even want to pray. And what we're really doing is we're hanging our hopes. We're hanging our identity. Brothers, when Satan comes at you like that and plays dirty, oh, play your harp. Sing a song out loud. Sing it like you mean it. Because that's one mistake that I didn't do my third summer. I did not sing it like I meant it. I play it here and there. I hang it, get it back. I play it here, and then I hang it. The problem with me is that I didn't have it consistently in singing it. I showed a weakness. I kept going to a resource. But God was refining me daily. I needed to trust in Him. Do you trust God today? When you're going through the fires, are you murmuring? Are you saying, God, why am I going through this wilderness? It's such a strange land. I've never been here. I don't want to be here. Are you letting God refine you daily? And the reason I say this is because, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. And the reason I share this with you guys is because of this main verse, which was the scripture verse for today. 1 Peter 1, 7. If you're there, say amen. All right, praise God. And it reads, that the trial of your faith, whose faith? Yours. Mine. Being much more precious than gold. Much more what? Precious than gold, that perisheth. Though it be tried with fire. So what is your faith going to be tried with? It's going to be tried with fire. May be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When I read this verse, it hit me and it made sense. The reason God allows trials, the reason God refines you, is because He's trying to do something in your life. And that is, He's trying to refine the gold within you. Many people say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, the same thing with the Israelites. The reason God, it was necessary for them to go through the wilderness experience was because He wanted to cut off that chains from Egypt. And what is the land of Egypt the bondage of? Sin. So when God refines you, He's trying to take sin away from your life. And the way I know it's because gold. Does anybody know how gold is refined? But how do you refine gold? You heat it up. But there's something amazing when you first, before you refine the gold and you find it. It doesn't look different from any other rock. It's dirty. It's muddy. It's trashy. Like, there's nothing. It's just a rock. But the person that knows gold can tell that there's gold in it. And that person is Jesus. We're so filthy with sin. The Israelites were so cut up with sin. They were so cut up with so many worldly things that the thing that Jesus was trying to do is refine them. And the way we refine gold is amazing. You put it in a side furnace, and you heat it up. 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. You heat it up and you put another notch to it, and another, and you go hotter and hotter and hotter. And guess what happens with that, the dirt and the gold? It begins to separate. When God refines in your life, He's trying to separate something from your life. And that is the sin in your life. That is what makes you just a rock. And God says, no, we're going to make you more than that. And that's going to be refined gold. So He starts putting up, heating it up, heating it up, heating it up, heating it up. But the amazing thing, while there's a heating up, God gives you a break. He takes you out, and then He sees where you're at, and then He puts you back in. And those are the times that you feel like, whoa, the storm has calmed down, God just took you out of the furnace. And then like, whoa, there's a storm coming, God just put you back in there. Because He knows you can handle it. He knows that, okay, we already did the process, a little bit came out, we need to take it a little bit more. It still has a little bit of dirt. Let's start refining it. And then you ask, and while that's happening, guess what we're doing? We're like, ouch, that hurts, God, stop, stop. It's like, stop. Like, I don't want to go through this. Why are you doing this? And God says, well, you asked me that you want to be more like me. You said you want to be part of the 144,000. You said that you wanted me to strengthen your faith, your walk. You wanted to be more like my son. You need to go through this process. And so you start refining this. You start refining the gold. And now the key is, when do you know the gold is refined? Now that's the precious thing. And it's when you take it out, and it's not just gold. It's so refined that you can see a reflection on it. Do you guys catch it? When you are fully refined, it is when God can take out the gold and not see you, but He can see His Son. And said, you are fully refined. Isn't that amazing? But sometimes we stop the process. And we say, God, my resource is where? Egypt. It's sin. And sometimes the reason why, at times the refining takes longer than usual, is because like a dog, you take it a shot, you take it a bath, shower it, you let it go outside, guess what it picks up? Dirt. And it comes back, and you need to give it another wash. Sometimes God is refining us, but guess what we do? We keep going. We keep going back to that dirt. And God's saying, that's not how the refining works. You need to let me handle it. And there's a process. There is a reason why we go through the afflictions. There's a reason why we go through this. And I'm going to share with you guys why do not think it's strange. In 1 Peter, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, the same. Chapter 4, we're going to go to chapter 4, verse 12. I love Peter. Peter, when we first find Peter, when Jesus first found Peter, how was Peter? He was a madman, huh? He was quick to speak. He wanted to like, hey, let's do this. The amazing thing about it is that he was bold, but sometimes he wasn't too smart of boldness. But he did so many things, and what did God? But the amazing thing about Peter is his conversion experience. Amen. It's how God was able to refine him, and through the refining, he understood it. He understood something that we don't understand as Christians. And when we go through trials and we murmur and we say all these, like, God, I don't understand it. It's not normal. In reality, in our life, if our neighbor is going through so much, that's not normal. They've got problems. I don't because I'm a Christian and God's calming my storms. That's not true. It should be the other way around.
Verse 12 of chapter 4. And it reads, behold, beloved, think it not strange.
Thinking out what?
Strange. Weird. Concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Peter's simply saying, hey, are you going through a trial? Don't think it weird. Don't think, oh, this is weird. Why is this happening? I'm a Christian. I have devotions every day. I pray every day. Why is this happening to me? Don't consider it weird. It's completely normal. It is completely normal that you're going through this. And the reason why? Next verse. But rejoice in as much. That is why John 16:33 says that, what? Rejoice. Or be of good cheer. Even though there's trials in your life, be of good cheer. Rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Do you guys know that Jesus right now is not satisfied? Yes, He's in heaven. Yes, He's being worshipped. But He is not satisfied. Because there's something in heaven that's missing. It's you and I. Jesus' number one joy in His heart is being seeing you refined and having that joy in you too in His second coming. The amazing thing about the great controversy, it says in Gospel Delivered, then when God comes down in His throne, He says, behold, for these I suffered, for these I died. And then our Savior shall be satisfied. The refining process is a love process because God cares and loves you. If there's anyone here today that has gone through such trials, do not consider it strange. Rejoice in as much. Rejoice in tears and punching the wall if you have to. But rejoice. Praise God. Do not hang your harp. Let God be your number one resource. If you find yourself in a Red Sea experience, just stand there. Don't even waste your energy in complaining. Just say, God, you're going to open up the sea. Just open it. Like, I don't even want to murmur anymore. I'm tired. Sometimes I wish God made me phlegmatic instead of sanguine. Phlegmatic, not even just be chill and be like, all right, God, you're going to take care of this anytime. But the amazing thing about being rejoiced is it does four things in your life. And it prepares you as a Christian. And that's chapter 5, the next chapter. And this is our close, and this is not a closing verse yet. I have one more. Verse 10. Chapter 5, verse 10. It says, but the God of all grace,
who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ. Yes, Jesus. After ye have what? Suffered a while. Who knows what that while is? It can be 10 years, your whole life. But it's a while. Guess what this does to you? Make you perfect. Establish. Strengthen. And settle you. When you are being refined and this refining process stops, guess what happens? You are perfect. You are established. That means you are not moving. You set your ways. You said, I followed the course and I'm going to stick to this course. And I'm going to follow it through. Strengthen you. How much of us need strength in our faith? In our spiritual life? As Christians, we need strength. As Christians, sometimes I think, when I read the book of Acts, I think, man, as other Christians, we are so lame. When you look at Peter, when you look at James, when you look at Paul, when you look at John, when you look at Bartholomew, when you look at Matthew, when you look at Luke, when you look at all these people who made a big movement, who started the race, you're like, wow, the book of Acts, God, it is amazing. It really just shows you that these people turned the world upside down. They really did. But it's because one thing, they were going through a refining process as well. And Peter understood that. Because it establishes you, it strengthens you, and finally, it settles you. How many of you want to say, God, I want to be with you and just be settled. No more moving around. No more hot, then cold, and hot, then cold. I want to be settled in the hot. Establish me, make me perfect, and strengthen me in this position. I don't want to have a foot in the world and a foot inside the church. I want to be refined. And if that means heating it up just a notch, do so. Because the principle of 2 Corinthians 3:18 is that by beholding you what? Become changed. My prayer and my hope and my desire daily is to keep that change going. Though it hurts. Though it's sometimes hard to see beyond the wall and say, God, I don't know what you're doing, you must learn to trust. Such is the song, trust and obey, for there's no other way. But to be happy in Jesus, to trust and obey. That song has a lot in it. Simple. The Christian life is so simple. It's trust and obey. But what makes it so hard is though we're away from Egypt, we're still not free from it. And God needs to just ask the three young boys. We find Mishael, Azariah, and Ananias. Even though they said, you know what? Put us in the fire furnace. Go for it, but we'll not worship you. They did not burn. But guess what burned? The ropes. We can think of bondage in our life the same way. When you're in the fire furnace, God's not trying to burn you. He's just trying to burn the ropes that hold you. So, my desire, and I hope it's your desire today, is to trust in God and say, God, keep this refining process going. Yeah, it's going to hurt. But if it's going to make me perfect, establish me, settle me, and strengthen me, let's do it. But help me to trust you more. Help me to trust and obey. And I promise you, with this in mind, you will go so far in your Christian walk. This is why I'm here in Kansas. That is why 2 years ago, I did not let go of God. Once I understood this, I told myself, if this is you making me a better me and showing you in my life, I guess you made it clear. My third summer was the best summer there ever was. Though my levels were low, my trust in you was better. Though it was a hard summer, my relationship with you strengthened. Though I cried, it brought me more to prayer. Though I sometimes couldn't sleep, it made me to stay awake to spend time with you that morning. I didn't see it while I was going through it. But I promise you, when Jesus comes again, I hope that I may be refined gold. And God may say, for this person I suffered, for this person I died. Brothers and sisters, I hope that it may be us, that Jesus may look down upon us with eyes of joy and be like, tell the whole world, these are the purchases of my blood. These are they. And we may be able to say, here we are. So let us pray and let us ask God daily to create the desire in us. And if you're going through something once again, give it to God. Trust in God. He will take care of it. And though it's hard, just know He's in control. He's in control of putting the temperature high or low. So don't worry. He won't burn you to death. Don't worry. He'll just keep you warm. But let us bow our heads forward to prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You so much for the trials of our faith. We thank You that refine us daily more as precious gold, Lord. More than precious gold that perisheth, Lord. We thank You. But we also ask for forgiveness. If any time, Lord, we've done a hindrance in our own lives in stopping this process, thinking that we know the best resource, and that is our own way. It is Egypt's way. Lord, forgive us if we've murmured so much. Lord, sometimes we're like little kids. We ask questions. We ask why, or why are You doing this, or we murmur. But Lord, we know that You do it for our own good, because You love us. You daily draw us with everlasting kindness. Why shall we doubt You? Help us to trust and obey, and let this desire be in our Christian walk daily, Lord. That when trials come in, may we be as Paul, bring on persecution, bring on distress, bring on all these afflictions. Because Lord, through our weakness, Your strength is made perfect. So Father, I pray that through this perfection, You may help us to become more like Your Son. That through this, may we know that by just saying we're Christians, we're not just Christians. It is not just a sunny day with birds chirping. It's not just that. It will come storms. Storms will come. Things will happen. But Lord, help us to trust in You even more. Because God, through that process, we know that it is honor, glory, and praise for Your soon coming. So let it be, Lord. We ask and we pray this, and we love You. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Our closing song will be